Tere! Kui paljud teist nüüd on lätlased või? Või Lätist on keegi? Ja üldse. No, I just asked how many Latvians are here. We'll talk about the film in English, so as to have our Latvian friends here. My name is Ahto. I have a small record store here in Tartu, so I have this kind of connection to music. And I could have been in that movie, actually. It's the year should have been 91, so that was close. And I gave quite a lot of thought about this film. I saw it first here now, and I got a really vivid postcard in my head. It's like always in America you ask to remember where you were when Kennedy was killed. So here was the thing about Nirvana. But I remember exactly where I was when I heard for the first time Nirvana's song Smells Like Teen Spirit. It was 91, I was 15, I was in a gym of school, like a very standardized school in Tallinn, in Estonia, and my classmate, the girl, came to listen to it on headphones, on a cassette. The headphones were orange. And I was in love with that girl, and I never said that to her, I realize now. So this kind of coming-of-age movie, I think sort of we all been in one way or another in that. But how much did you actually saw yourself in that movie?
Well, I would say a lot, yeah. Of course, like the very base of the film, it's like this is an adaptation of the book. But of course, yeah, book is one thing, but during this adaptation process, me with the screenwriter, of course, we put ourselves there in some way, like very personal things, which I guess in the end are very universal.
Can I add? It's quite interesting because the director and the scriptwriter, they both are born in 90 and 91, so they don't have an idea about 94. But I think this is what really Janis said, that these things happened to him as well, a bit later maybe. So actually, and like you said, it's a universal thing that each of us goes through this coming of age and through the same problems. Maybe music changes sometimes for generations, but I think the basic lines are there for everyone, and this is what I think Janis was very passionate to tell and talk about in the film. And yes, this is the story is based on Jan Sonjo's book, which is also translated in Estonian. The title is Metal?
No, it's
also Jalga 94. Yeah, 94. So in the last photo you could see all the three friends, Zombie, Death and Janis, how they look today. So they all have been through this story. Yeah.
But you have to go back and find out how the people looked like in 94. I was really happy when I saw a Royal Spirit bottle finally, which is something we can share, I think, with Latvians. But how did you do this work on finding out how the set should look like? And also location hunting was also really interesting.
Because like a lot of people might think that nothing much has changed since the 90s, and all around there are places which look, but actually it's not like that. There are a lot of plastic windows, and European Union has came to us and changed a lot. But yeah, like for me, the work process could be described. Like I was really interested in the human relationships and the teenagers, which in my opinion were more or less could be the same, I don't know, in the beginning of 20th century, during the 94 and now. But the cinematographer and the set designer were really the guys from the same generation as the author of the book. And both of them were also like participating in the underground life, and then cinematographer had kind of a punk band, and set designer was a fan of industrial music. Like, they all were mixing during this time, and that was very important to me, because like these are the two professions which are the main guys for saying what will be on the screen, and I am working. So yeah, it could be more like that I wasn't like doing a historical research, and I wasn't to be honest that interested if there was a shirt like that during these days, or a car like that, or a milk bottle like that, or wasn't. I was interested in the characters, and they were doing, yeah, the colors.
Yeah, but we had a big discussion about mobile phones and about the style of the mobile phone, and actually each of us had different memories of the size of the mobile phone, which existed in year 94. Well, that was the time when the first mobile phones actually appeared, and they looked quite huge. It was like a big box that some rich guys were carrying around. So. Yeah, these things, well, these discussions took place, but I think really the set designer and the DOP, they did a great job, and they had very vivid memories of this time. And I remember our DOP saying that what he remembers from that time is not the like dull buildings and dull places, but he remembers red bicycles, and then everything was quite well colorful, yeah, and that was important. And yes, we talked to guys like this marketplace, the secret market where they were selling recordings, and all these guys who took part in filming, they remembered it from their youth, and so they could describe and tell how it really looked like in reality. But yes, so we had some problems, like finding the school or some buildings, because nowadays all schools are renovated, and the original one where Janis went to school in Jelgava, actually they closed it for renovation just when we started filming, and we were so upset. But then we were happy that we found the school in Cēsis, which was closed, which is like, you know, well, you can buy these premises, and we could really, you know, do whatever we want in that building. Yeah, so actually it's all about one place, Jelgava, but we did the filming in Cēsis, in Bauska, the last big concert place. And that was also in another town, and we did some filming in Riga as well, so yeah.
I was actually about to ask about that last place where you were filming, because it's exactly the same building, the same architecture, I think, is in Tartu. Mm-hmm. And it still works as, it's called Illusion, and it still works as a nightclub. Mm-hmm. So I was like, really, actually my friends even wrote me before coming here, is it really Illusion? You have to find it. I've never heard that any Latvians were filming there.
No, it's that was an abandoned cinema in Bauska. Like, if you are going to Lithuania, to Vilnius, you go past it. It's like a Stalin time massive cinema, which is abandoned inside. But yeah, it's not in that way.
But actually, we have an Estonian backstory also to this, because we wanted to make it like a Latvian-Estonian co-production. We even put in the script, we had a scene where the Estonian metal band is coming to play in Jelgava, which actually existed in the original story. There was a group coming from Estonia playing, so we were very keen on like getting this Estonian touch to it as well, but unfortunately we were not supported by the Estonian Film Fund, so we had to stay just within Latvia. And when we showed the film at the Black Nights Festival, someone asked, is Jelgava a real place, or is it just there? And we said yes. And actually I think that's a good question, because I think in 94, well, this Jelgava 94, it could be also like, I don't know, any place in Estonia, like Narva 94 or place in Lithuania. I think things like that happened in many places, and so I think we, this fact maybe makes this film also allows it to travel across the borders. Yeah.
This was actually, I was thinking about that what unites at least me with this movie is sort of this nostalgia for these general things, like everyday things, also how it smells and feels and looks like the school. It doesn't have to be my school, yeah. But I understand that very much. I even wrote down some things when it went up the stairs and how the stairs looked like, and said, yeah, I know, I remember this thing. But what other thing is this, again, this nirvana, which like on the other level unites us very much, the feeling how you feel about the music or about the losing somebody in the music. But actually, it's about human relations, as I said. So if you go further away, you lose this common nostalgia and you gain more about this feeling of the people. But what about the cast? How old actually were these people? Because the main character was 14, according to the script.
Yeah, according to the script, he was 14. And during the shooting, I guess he was also 14 or just turned 15. But yeah. Basically all of the kids were the same age as they, except this one character, Death, but he's a bit older, but he has this kind of face, which is, I don't know, until he will be 60, he will look like he's going to high school.
Yeah, even today when we look at Bruno, who is playing Jans in the film, he's changed a lot. But Death looks the same. I think actually it was interesting because with the cast, some were found like Death. We found him quite easily. Actually, when we did some teaser for the film, we found him on Facebook, and I think he wrote.
He found us.
Yes, he said, yes, I'm into metal music and I have to be in this film, and somehow yes, he was there, and actually it took a while to find the main character, and we got him by accident because there was another guy whom we already started shooting, but then there was an accident, he broke his knee, and we had to stop the shooting and recast him. And I have to say that Bruno, whom we have now in the film, he's a miracle. Actually, he had applied for another film, and the casting agency, they just noticed him and they said, well, he should be in that film. And so, yeah, and I think these guys did a great job, and I think for them it was like, you know, being somewhere what they hadn't experienced. I think from what we heard from all the discussions, and the main thing was how on earth one could live without mobile phone. Yeah, you just, because you have to go and find your friend and knock on his door to tell him that I am going to be late. So this seemed like, you know, an impossible thing, and actually I think they quite enjoyed that feeling, you know, being a bit laid back in this technology thing and live in another world. Because there was more space for other relationships and relations, yeah.
But when was your premiere, actually? Last year?
Yeah, in September.
Yeah. 17th of September in the town of Jelgava.
Yes. How has been the reception abroad? I mean, again, I talk about my own point of view, that I recognize so much of the history, so much of the people, of the colors, of the smells, of the happenings. But if you go a little bit further away, it's different. And for example, this the exchange place, the secret place in the woods, it's basically like internet, that you can go and you go to the last stop on a trolleybus and then you find an internet, and everything is there what you want, but it's so secret. And similar thing actually was in Estonia. It wasn't so hidden, it was really in the center of Tallinn. It was called Plaadi Mägi or Record Hill, and that was the place where the melomaniacs of Estonia every Sunday. I also went there and exchanged stuff. But for like, if you come from Finland or I don't know, Sweden or States, this is something really weird that you have to go to somewhere in the woods to do this kind of weird stuff. So how has, and then it looks like a miracle, not the true story, but we know that this is actually how it worked. How has been some kind of reflections maybe from people who don't share our common past.
Well, probably Aunt Arte that could tell more about, but yeah, to talk about the reception, like our international premiere was in the Tallinn Black Knights, and yeah, basically then when we started like actively to apply to the festival, then the some kind of plague came in the game and all. So yeah, we can't say a lot about the reception abroad. But I might agree you in that case that yeah, like in this film we are not trying to explain very much like for the foreigners what it means. We are just showing. So I don't know. Probably you need some kind of the background.
I think actually from what I've got, we showed the film in Brussels. We showed the film was shown also in UK a bit, but more of course to the Baltic diaspora, but yes, it's been chosen for the festivals which are going online nowadays, and you know, we don't know so much about the response, but actually from what we've got the response, I think it really works on this, from what I've been told, it works on this human level, on this, like, you know, very really, I think people remember their young days and how is it to, because you want to belong to some group, and it's important that you're recognized and how this is happening. And I think each of us has been through something like that, and to be a teenager, I think this is a bloody hard thing even nowadays and whenever. So it's yeah, you have to go through many, you know, things and find yourself, and I think this is an international thing.
Yeah, and I still think this a place where you see that the fact is stranger than fiction, and yeah, it's moving in several times, and then if you have a feeling that I should explain it and say something, but no, it's not about that. The movie is about people, so it's, and it works on that level too.
And I think maybe for foreigners, again, seeing this post-Soviet, or well, still well in 94, it looked very Soviet place. I think it's again quite interesting. It's again something different, what they haven't experienced and they haven't seen. So, yeah.
But it's not about only me asking questions. If somebody from the audience wants to ask something, you're very welcome to do that. I will not come there with a microphone. Just,
we have one question.
I have a question here. You said that the main character and the actor, Bruno, was 14, and it's quite a big responsibility when working with such a young cast. Did you feel that the movie somehow influenced them? And, for example, did he discover any new bands? Did he start smoking after the shooting, or did you feel that he kind of found anything new about the work?
I think, yeah, that most probably he really got influenced, but as you know, like, teenagers are not that much talkative in the open way to say, yeah, Janis, you really influenced me in this or that way. As I know, he didn't start smoking, and he still listens to the rap music as what he did before, not the metal. So we failed in that part.
No. Sorry, we didn't fail, because I met them like 2 weeks ago, and I heard this. This wasn't a conversation between me and him, but that was a conversation between Bruno and Beth. And Bruno said, well, I'm listening to this from metal music now. And Beth looked at this or listened to something, and he said, yes, this is where I started. It's a good start. So, yeah.
So we did it, yeah. But yeah, I guess for teenagers, kind of a big experience, and most probably, but yeah, in some way, Bruno is also a shy guy. He didn't say that yeah, I will become an actor, but he said, yeah, it would be interesting to act more or something like that.
Now he has applied for another film, and I think he was he got into some somewhere. Yeah, so actually, I think he quite enjoyed, and actually there was. And I think you can see from the screen there's certain there's a big deal of curiosity of like, you know, he's, and I think this is good for the film because we needed such a character who's curious about things, about what is happening and how is it happening, and this is actually, this is very, very him, yeah? And so he was very eager to find out things, to understand things, to learn things, but of course he wasn't talking so much about it, but I think he was happy. Yeah, one thing we can say in Brussels, we went to the bar someone from the locals said, because Bruno was then 17 already.
16.
And one guy from the locals said, well, you can drink beer when you're 16 in Brussels. And that was sort of, yeah, for the first time he was having beer. So that was how we spoke him.
I love the beer. Yeah.
I have a question. Yes.
Yeah. I've seen. Which is a bit late. Earlier years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen.
Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, it's the same sort of like feeling. It makes me feel. I think that was even applies more to my young days. So yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah. Don't know, actually.
Actually,
yeah, we could make like a trilogy.
I would say I consider myself a bit like an expert in Lithuanian cinema, but I would say no, but most probably maybe. Well, famous one, no.
Yeah.
But probably.
Katri.
You have read the book?
No, I haven't.
Well, yeah, there was one scene, but that would make sense only to the. There was one scene where Jan is. Like in the book, everything is much longer, and it's the book is, you could say, kind of a diary type. Not diary type, but. Sort of, and there is a scene when Jans becomes a better friend with these, not skinheads, but the hoodlums, let's say, and then they were going to fish together, Jans and these two guys, and then they were fishing in the 90s methods, you know, with electricity and stuff like that, and drinking vodka and sharing their life experiences, like the Russian guys told about their favorite singers, and Jans educated them in the genre of metal. That was kind of a nice scene which didn't found a place at all in the script.
There's one more.
And another question about the book adaptation. This old Janus narrator figure, was that from the book or did you put it in because I really liked the idea of looking back at his teenage years and narrating it?
Yeah, you could say that that was kind of my approach in that sense. Like me as a reader, when I read the book, I had this very specific feeling about this book, which fascinated me. That in some way it's adventures of the teenager, but all the time when you read the book, you understand that it's written from a point of view of an adult guy. And for a very long time we kind of struggled, we wanted to put in the end, like, I don't know, and nowadays Janis is doing this and that, and always it turned out to be bad. I wanted to make this feeling that basically all the story, it is coming of age story, but meanwhile it's kind of a flashback of something, so we could have this chance to romanticize the 90s environment, and we are not making the real documental 90s Latvia, we are making Latvia, yeah, through the eyes of the how someone remembers his youth. Yeah, you could say that was, yeah, for me as a reader, I read the book that way, and then it somehow transformed like that.
You can ask more questions. We talk then. Meanwhile, how did actually this book and the film find you? How did you find each other?
Well, just not very interesting story actually. Like, one of my friends who is working with Latvian literature, who is basically reading everything what is written in Latvian, she just said, "Yeah, you might be interested in this one." And during that time, I was finishing film school. I read the book and I had this feeling in my mind that I want to make something kind of a coming of age story or tell about growing up. And when I read the book, I really loved the book, and I got this idea, yeah, that in the book there are all these things which I would like to tell emotionally. They are in there, but even better than I could write. Like, for example, I found very fascinating that it happens in the 90s, which is some way was the whole country and the whole environment was like kind of a teenager, like chaotic, and then metal music is some kind of the, well, I wouldn't call symbol, but in some way as a sound for people who don't listen to the metal every day, it sounds like rebellious, like something from the teenage angst or yeah.
So, but the music, does it also, you're also into metal music or have been, or did that touch you as well?
I have never been in the subculture. I have like, I never dressed like a metalhead or something like that, but I have always liked the heavy music, metal as well, but yeah, I haven't been in the party itself, as you could say. So like when I grew up and became old, of course I went to some metal concerts and stuff like that, but yeah, I guess that's just a coincidence. In friends around me, there wasn't a metalhead who would bring me in, so I just, yeah, listened on my own.
That question.
Yeah, well, I'm actually a Latvian, but...
Okay!
How hard it was to convince Skyforger and Husqvarna to be in the movie?
It wasn't really hard, like... with the Skyforger, it was a bit more for the rest of all. Like Skyforger, who are playing in the end, is the most famous Latvian metal band. Kind of like a brainstorm in the metal scene. And yeah, Husqvarna, like they are coming from Jelgava, and they consider this that they have to be.
They have to be. Yeah,
yeah, it's like. Out of questions, but with the Skyforger, yeah, they were like up to playing there. We were just like discussing, because during the 94 the band didn't play the style of the music they are playing now, and yeah, there were discussions about that, but yeah, they were really open.
Yeah, actually, when we understood that we are not going to get Nirvana, even a little bit, but that was just, of course, in the end, we were ready to purchase at least one bit, but it turned out to be impossible because we couldn't reach them, and we found, it took a while, and then we found the company who is representing Nirvana's rights. And then they tried, and then they came back with a statement that, well, there is a Nirvana estate who are not interested in actually even talking to anyone. Like, you know, are we going to give some rights for, like, 20 seconds for a production coming out from Latvia? Where is it? So we understood we are not going to get Nirvana, so we... Then decided that we are going to use the music, the metal music, and actually the music which was popular and important for this subculture in Latvia at that time. And then we had like a consultant, the guy from Husqvarna, yeah?
No, the punk one.
The punk dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, yes, he came up with a list of the groups who should be in, and then Janis was the sound director. They actually choose ones bit by bit where we could use the music and. Use this original music. That was the main sort of aim. And I know that some bands are not happy that, you know, some are not included in the film. It should be.
There was also one step you didn't mention, Nirvana was out of question, like Courtney Law wasn't interested in us. But at some point I started to write to the. I found like on the Facebook or on the Google like contacts of the metal bands who are kind of still reachable, who were famous for these guys and famous around the world in the metal scene during the 90s. And I really contacted some of the actual musicians who said, yeah, that would be an honor to if our song would be in your film. But you should contact Sony Enterprises. They are owning that album. So yeah, in the end, it turned out that way. But me personally, I'm very happy that during these problems, like we couldn't get what is written in the book, what they are listening. In the end, we could like make this collage of Latvian underground and metal.
Actually, that was one other question about the sound director or music supervisor. That it's a very one of the main characters in the book is the music, of course, and also in the movie. And how many of the bands did you get? And who did all the hard work? I don't know, like maybe 30 songs at least. So do you have a playlist record? Did you think about record or something?
We have a playlist, actually.
Many questions.
Yeah,
we have a playlist.
Tell us, nobody, we don't tell anybody.
What exactly was your question?
who was the sound director and how many of the music that was originally in the book ended up in the movie? And do you have any plans with the music per se?
Like in the book, it's mostly about the super famous metal bands from the Western Europe from America. Like they are listening to them, like the legends of the metal. It's in the book. It's written about them. And as we told, yeah, from the Nirvana to the real metal guys, we couldn't get them. They are mentioned a few metal bands, Latvian metal bands, which already, and this Husqvarna and Skyforger, and they are in the film. But yeah, in this part we kind of took step aside and did our collage of 90s underground music. By the way, I think on the Spotify or Deezer there is. It's on the Deezer, like the guy who translated a book into French, he made a playlist of all the songs which are mentioned in the book. So if someone has read the book and wants to listen to all of them, and they're kind of a lot, but yeah, and we have a playlist as well as artists.
Yeah, we have this list, and when we had some film parties, then we are playing this playlist, and it's a compilation of all these famous Latvian heavy metal groups. Yeah, there is a question.
Did you have some specific, I don't know, detailed movie that you definitely wanted to connect with that age as well?
No, actually, it's kind of far from. No, it's not far from the book, but yeah, as I mentioned, yeah, the book is kind of a diary type, which is super, super difficult to put to the screen. Probably in the book it was Kelly's family or something like that, but these are details. Yeah, we kind of stick close to the to the details, but yeah, as I mentioned, we were more inspired by the book itself and the emotion it left, and we didn't like followed
the details
that much. Of course, when we had some kind of decision, then we all always came back to the book and asked the question and listened what the book said.
Actually, it's quite process to get from the book to the screen, and it seems from the beginning that hey, you've got the book and you just do the filming, but this doesn't happen like that, and it takes a while actually to get away from the book and turn the book into a screenplay and into a film, and you have to lose many things, and I think it's quite painful process, because you love the book and you love the way things are in the book, and then you have to really change all your setting and move to another medium. And yeah, I would say that it takes time and it's not easy, but it should be done. And then you have to really, you know, like remember what was the most important things you liked about the book and the emotions and feelings, and then you have to transfer it into another way. And yeah, from the beginning, like even the author of the book, Jan Sienius, was helping with writing the script, and then we understood that this is not leading us anywhere, because, well, he has written the book, he can't just do something different about what he has done. So yeah, so it's just, I would say it's quite painful to turn a book into a script. And it takes time.
And also during the script writing, me and script writer and some other like members of the team, when we talked, we kind of understood like very lot of like good films which are adaptation of the adaptations from some kind of literature. A lot of them has always made something different or stepped aside in some each original way from the literature to put it on the cinema. So at some point, as Anta told, we had to.
Yeah, because it's like when you read a book, then everyone sees his or her own film. But when you're watching a film, there's one film made by the director and presented by the director, and so you have to decide what are you putting in that one film. Yeah.
There was one.
Yeah. What were the biggest lessons you learned from making this film?
Everything, basically. You know, yeah, everything. Like, yeah, this was like. Three times more lessons that I got in film school, like, yeah, I can't say like one, yeah.
But really, about your, does it work? No.
Works.
Okay. About your background, this for your first feature film. What is your background? What have you done before?
Yeah, this is my second feature film. Like the first feature film was, I would say, zero budget, like kind of a tribute to the films that I like. But yeah, background, like nothing too much. I graduated from Latvian Academy of Culture with my graduation film, which was more or less successful, and thanks to that I made this no budget film, but with really small budget. But, And then, yeah, before that I studied philosophy. Nothing too interesting.
I think Jans has been extremely lucky because, you know, in a very short time making two feature-length films, and I think it's somehow, we didn't get the money for Jelgava in the first go, and then in the meantime you got money for this, like, low-budget film. And then there was a moment when, well, he had to think about two films, and so it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
A young filmmaker gets like two films at the same time, nearly.
Yeah, that's why you could say, like, always we are complaining that we are coming from small countries and we don't have that much budget as in France as in UK. But my very close friend from France said, like, if you would be a French 30 years old in France and made two feature films, it would be like a bug in the matrix, like it's some kind of error. Yeah. So in that sense, yeah.
Very practical question then. What was the budget, and was there something holding you back? Did you not do something because of the budget?
Budget.
Oh yeah, what's so huge?
I remember that, like, a week before filming, I said, Jans, we had to cut, like, at least 5 days shooting. But then he went to the cafe and reread the script once again, and he said, okay, we can lose 2 days. I said, fine. Well, the budget of the film was around 600,000 euros. We had 400,000 from the film center, and the rest was paying. I think we still managed to do what we wanted, and I think this was thanks to the really passionate team, and thanks to the fact that people who worked on this project, we all loved the idea of the project, and it was like, you know, people were in love with the idea of the project, and I think that helped a lot, and I think we had a really good team, I don't think that even if I think Nirvana would appear somewhere on the horizon, I would try to find some money for that as well. But I think the main thing was really to get. I think it was important to get a picture of this 90s and the feeling of this 90s and. Judging from what you are saying and other people in other audiences, I think this is what we managed to get, and I think this is where the money goes to fill the screen and make it look like it should look, and that people don't say, oh well, it's a cheap film, it doesn't look like, you know, like something is missing. So I'm very happy that even for this money we managed to get so much out of it.
I would just add, like, yeah, it's always when talk about money, I think, like, of course there was of course some kind of decisions in the details which are always influenced by the money, but the general idea, like, if we would have understood, like, oh no, we don't have the money to realize our general idea, would, I don't know, we would have waited tried to gain more money. It was possible. And of course, during the shooting, there are happening hundreds of things. If you have 10 millions, then maybe.
No, our biggest disaster was actually we did shoot this first shooting we started, and we had to stop because of the actor, and I would say that everything apart, like, losing real money was for better. I think we got a better actor, and we got some time, we could prepare, and we understood what we had to do in a different way, and we even managed to lose some money on the project, but otherwise, yeah. Of course, with Estonian money, the film would look even better.
Yeah. About the... Again, okay.
I can give you my.
I think this one is again this the things in the movie and actually originally then in the book, they were all true. I mean, you didn't really fantasize. I mean, of course, the fictional storyline, but for example, the escaping prisoners. That was a thing that really happened in.
It's an actual event. The only difference is that it happened in the 94 in the August, and we put it in the spring. But yeah, 84 prisoners escaped the Algova prison one night. That happened. And but actually no, all things. I won't now start to talk. I won't make a long monologue about that. But I have talked a lot of, with the author of the book, and all things are not real events in the book. But.
Of course. But still about this location hunting, it was really. I mean, you really succeeded, and also the. Budget question wasn't really a naive question. I think the movie was there. I wasn't missing anything in the movie. So that was more of a question, what would have done? Can you tell a little bit more about these location huntings? And the school was hard to find, and in Cesis finally, and the plastic windows. But what else were you looking for? Like the beer bottles? Just give me a feeling about that. Because I know how like Estonian table in 94 looked like.
Yeah, but like location hunting, like actually I was kind of lucky that I worked with this cinematographer, because me personally I really enjoy searching for location myself, because in the production of cinema there is a person who is called location manager who supply you with the locations, but the cinematographer was also really into searching locations on our own. So basically all the exterior shots where the guys are walking around Jelgava, they are found by us basically. Then the interiors, of course, we had to go to the professional who has like a library of places. She knows that, oh yeah, there might be. But the school was the most difficult one, and we found the school, which was actually, because we were going into the actual schools, and it's all the time it wasn't right. And we found abandoned school for 10 years, which was some kind of encapsulated in the time, and which was perfect for that.
Yeah, apart from the fact that there was no electricity and heating, and we started shooting in December, and it was cold. We were really, heating it, and it was smelly and awful. But then, when we did the other round of filming in April, it was okay. actually it didn't go very smoothly, because the director and the cameraman, they were quite choosy on the places, and their main, I think, as far as I remember, their main sort of idea was that they should have some flavor, something some feel of the place, that's why. But I think in the end we really succeeded, and yes, we tried to do as much as possible in Jelgava, because of course this is a story about that place, and I even received some phone calls from, let's say, the library of Jelgava, because they noticed that we are not filming this library in Jelgava, and they said, we have such a nice library in Jelgava, why you are not filming it there? And so, actually, I was, and I think each of us was a bit worried about, this premiere in Jelgava, because, they had to accept the film, otherwise it would be not nice. But, we were a bit worried, but after the film they said, yes, it's okay. we, it's our town, it's our place, yeah.
How large the city is Jelgava? Is it like Latvia, Tartu, or is it like
Latvia and Jelgava? No, it's like Tartu. Tartu is bigger. Like Jelgava is the biggest. Biggest city in.
If you remember, I don't see you quite well, how young you are. there were these rough minibuses popular in the Soviet time, so this is the place where they came from.
Like
Jelgava, yeah.
Yeah, it's like kind of a big
industrial. Yeah.
And it's also, it's kind of close to Riga, that's why it's also hard to tell, because like Tartu is far away from Tallinn, but Jelgava is 40 kilometers from Riga, and nowadays a lot of people who live in Jelgava work in Riga, so they are, it's kind of connected to Riga. But yeah.
It's like about 50,000 people, I think. Something like that.
Not so many, yeah, 30, okay. 30, yeah.
This is important because how fast the influences reach in this small town.
But yeah, when I did my like history research, like Jelgava was one of the centers where the metal music came.
Yes. Yeah, Põlva is known for a rock, a hard rock movement.
It's okay.
A small place, so.
Well, yeah, I know. No, actually, I don't know. He's a super silent guy, but he still drinks beer with me. So I guess he's not that angry. But I guess it might be difficult to watch a film which in some ways about your life, it might not be easy, but yeah, he said it's fine.
How has the reception been in Latvia? What are where are you going? What's your future plans?
I'll give the first answer and then
no
about your future. actually, I think it went very well. People received the film with great pleasure, and I think people loved the film. And yes, and the director got the prize for the best director last year. So I think it's also quite a thing for such a young director. So. And I think the film was also one of the best films last year. Yeah, we just, you know, when they give out these annual prizes, you have to somehow play the cards right.
And four prizes, how many?
Yeah, four prizes, yeah. We got for the costumes, we got for the makeup, for
mother, actress who played mother.
Ah yes, for second role, yeah.
Supporting role,
and actually we had like 9 nominations, so it's I think it's pretty good, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. So now you can tell about your future plans.
Well, I won't adapt the book for a while.
Yeah, as far as I know, Jans has started writing a script on something, because I was saying, well, you should just have a project, because it's a good moment, they should give you money for your next project, because you're the best director now.
But they didn't give me
money. But now you should check out the Estonia and you're in Tartu, they start the film fund, you can get
okay.
And so it's, there's lots of...
We have support team in Tartu.
So any more questions? Rare gift. There are people from abroad.
People always want to know what happens next. When I was in the same age at the same time, and I remember this pressure that all the future is on your shoulder.
Okay. Well, I can tell real life. It's kind of easy. Well, yeah. He, in short, his life story was like For a lot of years, he worked in a commercial agency,
advertising agency
as this copywriter, and then all the time doing some kind of translations or writing short stories. Yeah, he's an expert in French language, so he did translation for French literature, and then slowly writing something, and then when he wrote this book, he became super famous in Latvia and also got some European prizes for that book, and then he quit agency, and now he has become a writer, sitting alone in his apartment and writes every day.
He has published another book in the meantime. Actually, it took quite a long time since Jelgava, and only now. When was Jelgava published? Like 12?
14,
yeah, something like that. And 13. Only now, like this year, he published a collection of stories called Tiger. It took him some time to get ready for the next book. And, well, I think this is where, you know, fiction again goes together with real life, and like in the book also, well, we see that, and maybe in the book more, this Janis is a bit like, you know, a bit awkward guy who is neither this nor that, and then he gets into this, you know, metal band and starts maybe drinking or smoking, and this doesn't mean anything. Well, in the end of the day, you become what you become, and you grow out of all these things. This is like an experience. Yeah, you get some experience, and the main thing is not to get stuck in all this, and to move ahead, and do some things in your life.
But yeah, what happens with the fiction, Jan, is it's up to you to choose. I guess that's why films are.
Yeah, you can still keep on watching your own film, what you get impression from the book.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think this is a real pleasure in this special time what we are experiencing now, you know, to be in front of the audience and actually to talk to people who are watching films. So yeah, as I said today, actually for me, since the Berlin Festival, this is my second journey out of the country, so to Tartu, so I'm really very happy.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
We have to turn it off.
Stay brutal.
Stay brutal, yeah.